Welcome to the Midday for a Thursday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and on Friday and Sunday this week, that's the 17th and 19th of April, there will be two performances by the Madison Bach musicians of the, I'll call it an opera.
It is opera ballet.
Opera ballet by Jean-Philippe Rameau, and that was the voice of, most of the voice of Trevor Stevenson, the founder and director of the Madison Bach musicians, and he has brought also Dan Cokewell, who is playing the part of the sculptor in this famous mythological story, which resonates through literature and music, the story of a sculptor who brings his statue to life.
Right.
Or at least she comes to life somehow.
With Venus's help, you know, he invokes
can't
Venus.
Can't expect to be able to do it by yourself.
Right. And Venus shows up. I mean,
in the opera?
Yes, absolutely. And sings her heart out, and the statue comes to life, and everything is happy.
Have we actually said the name yet?
What is the name of this opera?
We said the composer. I don't know if we said the name yet.
That's right. Call in if you know the name of the opera.
Yeah, it's a quiz. It's
Pygmalion. Pygmalion is what it's called. Pygmalion. All about this art and life dichotomy, as we would say in doctoral writings.
Right.
But when you say it's an opera ballet, we're not talking about a 2.5 hour opera. You know, nobody gets stabbed in this one either, right?
No, there's no stabbing.
So it's a little different that way.
It's
only about 45 minutes
long. It will be the second half of our program. And it is a ballet in that there are many dance numbers in it. And they're just beautifully done by Karen McShane Hellenbrandt at UW has coordinated several dancers for this. So this is its own, you know, genre in the French mid-18th century stuff.
I wouldn't ordinarily ask this, Trevor, but what are these dancers going to be wearing?
My goodness, right.
This is 18th century?
But it is not in 18th century costume.
Right.
It is in modern dance costume.
Yeah, right. So like the sort of leotard type thing?
I think so.
Oh,
yeah.
You haven't been paying attention to that part. You don't
know. Well, the musicians are very busy. We're all very busy playing. Right.
You know. Okay, so you want to find out.
All black.
It's all black.
Unitard kind of thing. Yeah.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah. All right. So you just have to show up to find out.
And the dance is also a mixture of classical ballet and 18th century dance and modern moves is beautifully woven together. And of course, the music is very high energy, particularly the dance numbers. Just, you know, the French, that's what they did, you know.
Rameau was, sure, he was mainstream broke, I think, born 1683. I mean, within a couple of years of Bach and Handel and Scarlatti and Telemann and the whole crew there. Had a style all of his own.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard to put your finger on. You can look at it in terms of, you know, such and such a percentage of Bach or of Vivaldi or of Haydn and things like that. But of course, ultimately, it's very French. It is based almost entirely on dance rhythms. I mean, almost every piece in it, even if it's an aria, it's still based on dance rhythms.
Even the recits have a dance feel to them.
Yeah. So Rameau has some of Haydn's ability to pace things comically,
way senior to Haydn. Though.
He's right, but I'm just saying from our perspective, if you look back, it's that type of sense of the opera of how to pace things dramatically, but in a hilarious way, you know. Which is, I mean, you know, as dying is hard, but comedy is harder, you know. And so as
and
many
when comedy
great actors,
dies, that's really hard,
right? You know. So he did, but you know, he also has, you know, elements of Handel's kind of what we would identify maybe as Baroque grandeur. There's this kind of a large vault to the sensibility as well. That's, you know, that's a wonderful thing to have present. So, you know, to us it looks like a hybrid, but of course it's very French.
Well, let's get a sample in terms of the overture. This will give you some idea of Rameau's style. And this is a performance by whom?
This is Le Concert Spirituel and Hervé Niquet.
Oh, yes, standby. Yes.
Right. And this is the overture to Pygmalion. It's very, you know, kind of a slow martial feeling, like a typical French overture, the way it starts. And then it goes into a rapid section, which is also typical. But many people note that this rapid section seems to indicate chiseling. It sounds like a sculpture chiseling. And because it's quite unique, and it probably is, word painting. your tone painting. Yeah. You know,
do you have a chiseler in your opera?
Oh, I mean, we're full of chiselers.
I couldn't resist. Well, we'll get into the action later. Right. But first, let's hear.
And then we'll hear the very beginning of the scene where Pygmalion is alone. And Dan, you say something about that? What this aria where he's about? What's he singing about?
Oh, yeah. I'm basically blaming the gods for my fate this life of as I see it, I'm the character thinking that I've had this life devoid of love, and the only way I seem to find it is through my own creation. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
also,
you know,
very artistic.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. So he's woe is unto me is kind of what he's saying, fatal love. Right. Fatal amour.
And it's a Sarabande, it's over a Sarabande rhythm
exactly.
as well, right?
Exactly, yeah.
The words are. And this is also the great tenor, this is Jean-Paul Fouchicourt singing.
That
this
we hear after the overture.
Right, and this is recorded in the 1990s, yes.
We just wanted to give you an idea of what that rather haunting opening aria is like in the Rameau opera ballet Pygmalion, which the Madison Bach Musicians is going to be performing Friday night and Sunday afternoon in Madison at the Unitarian Atrium, the big
yes.
area, the newer part of it. And with me are two of the principals involved in this production. Trevor Stevenson, who is the director of the Madison Bach Musicians, and then Dan Coakwell, who plays the part of the sculptor, he who creates this statue that comes to life.
Who was just, as we just heard, was just bemoaning his outcast state,
mm-hmm.
as the bard said, right? Yeah, but yeah. This is before things get good, right?
Pygmalion himself, yeah.
So was this a common form back in the day in France in particular, these sort of, by our standards, short opera ballets?
No, I think some of them, were quite long. You know, in the first half of this concert, we'll be doing excerpts from Les Engalants, which is, almost a three-hour thing, you know.
Some charming
which is
stuff
all,
in it.
It does. It's got great music in it. That's a long evening, right, for people. And I'm sure there was a fair amount of you know, entertainments in between and
imbibing
alcohol. And
between,
yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all of that, yeah, imbibing. So, and in Pygmalion, just the story, just so, because I think the story is actually very interesting. The sculptor is, you know, bemoaning his outcast state. And then his girlfriend shows up. Cephise, she shows up, and she says, "You know, I really can't get your attention anymore.
Well,
what's
it's hard
going
to compete
on?
With a statue.
You know, and they have this tiff, and then she storms out, and that's when the statue comes to life.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
So anyway, just so you know,
underlying psychology here. I haven't quite figured out what it is, but there's something going on, or the Freud would have a field day.
Right, exactly, right. So
he's sort of rewarded for his narcissism, is how I see it, which is unfortunate. Right. But it's also, you know, just these operas they have. It's kind of the absurd, you know. Yeah.
Right. You got to buy the premise,
yeah.
right, if you want to get there, you know. And of course, and people they always ask me, it's like, what does this have to do with Shaw's Pygmalion or something
oh, sure.
like that? You know, I mean, it's only loosely
it's analogous.
Based. It's analogous, yeah. right. It's right, the kind of unformed, quote, unformed thing that
the
is
My Fair
then,
Lady thing. Yeah, right.
She gets formed into a lady and then they fall in love, which is exactly what happens here.
Well, let's give Dan a chance to sing.
Yeah.
And this is actually not from Rameau, but Clairembault, who wrote in much the same style. And what do we have here, Dan?
This is a cantata by Clairembault, and he lived about the same time as Rameau. I think he was a little bit earlier than him, but this is a standalone solo cantata, which is the story of Pyrame et Thisbé, which is the what they suspect Romeo and Juliet is derivative.
Pyramus and Thisbé.
Exactly, yeah. Pyramus and Thisbé, and their... it's the same type of story as Romeo and Juliet, where they have warring families and they're able to talk through a little hole in the wall to each other. And eventually one kills themselves or pretends to, and the other one then kills, you know, all these things. It's
everything
the same type
could
of story.
Go wrong, does go wrong.
Exactly.
Shakespeare makes fun of it in Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
The bumpkins are out there doing Pyramus.
It's the play within a play.
Yeah,
exactly.
Uh-huh. Great fun. And so this is an aria they're from.
This is the final scene, essentially leading to the final big aria, where he's lamenting the death, and he's saying, "Come, monsters! You know, I'll take you head on," and then falls on his sword. So. Okay.
At the end of this aria.
Yeah,
I wondered why it ended so abruptly.
Yeah.
Here it is. Well, I mentioned that it was abrupt, and that it is indeed, but that's not exactly where he stabs himself.
Right.
Persalesin.
That's where it ends.
Okay.
Right there.
Wow.
Okay.
That's harsh.
We have the finale of this. That was Clarimbeau, but we're going to go back to Rameau and Pygmalion. This opera ballet, the Madison Bach musicians just putting on this Friday and Sunday.
Full Baroque orchestra as well, I should add.
Quite the compliment. Right. And so what do we find in this finale, Trevor?
Oh, man. This is the triumph of love. This is Pygmalion singing about just how wonderful love is and all will be well. And all.
Kind of the opposite of the Pyramides Bay. It's saying, you know, this is love triumphing as opposed to love causing such pain.
Love getting everybody killed.
Yeah.
And it's a very virtuoso tenor aria. This is in the what they call the French haute contre styles. Mm-hmm. It's a high tenor thing with a lot of coloratura in it. You know, high energy. Again, it just emphasize it's almost what we would call a hybrid of Handel's grandeur and Haydn's naughtiness, kind of all woven into one thing. So, and we're also, I just want to say, we're thrilled that Marc Falon, who will be conducting this and has worked so hard to bring it together, and David Ronis from UW-Madison is also doing the stage direction. And so it's
a lot going on. And don't forget the dancers, of course, too.
Don't forget the dancers. And Chelsea Morris singing The Statue, Chelsea Props singing Venus, and Sarah Lewerke singing The Jilted Girlfriend, Cephise. Always a thankless role, but we'd like to thank her.
That's true. That is true. The also-ran does come up thankless. Right. Well, here's the finale, then, of Rameau's Pygmalion, after which our quiz question here on WPR. Give you some idea of the finale of Pygmalion by Rameau being performed by the Madison Bach musicians this weekend.
Can Dan say, you should say a word about like what it's like to sing this. He will be singing.
Dan, what's it like to sing this?
It's very high. No, I'm a high tenor, which I enjoy doing this kind of stuff. I say my bread and butter is Bach. I do a lot of Bach Evangelist, which is also very high. It's very similar to this in that sense. But what's different is that Rameau and these kind of composers with the haute contre, that's a particular kind of tenor that really sits up high in the top range, where it's like the beginning of what, you know, we sort of know as countertenor.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
it's
you know, we're familiar with countertenors who sing even higher, but it's kind of that little netherworld in between tenor and countertenor.
Right.
So,
above middle C.
Yeah, and I get to mix the registers and have fun with that, which, you know, some tenors would say that's not so fun, but I enjoy it a lot.
Feels good.
Yeah, and I love the drama of it. So, yeah.
Okay. We're so thrilled you're here this week.
Well, thank you.
We'll have some fun with that. And thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Trevor and Dan. Next stop, that 12:30 quiz question here on WPR.